We now proceed to our friend Mr. Norman on the work of, I cannot quite actually say it in English, but can report on speaking, please.
Already I can say that I will bring so much more home to Holland than I can possibly bring to this meeting. Yesterday my wife and I had occasion to visit Bunhill Fields and stand beside John Bunyan's grave, and now we are confronted with these wonderful thoughts about the Reformation and Martin Luther. It's really a privilege for me to be here, and I'd like to thank the board of the Society for inviting us to be present at your annual meeting. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to share something of the work that we, through God's grace, are able to undertake in the Russian-speaking world or in the countries of the former Soviet Union, as we can also say. The work that our mission, Friedensstimme, Voice of Peace, does in Russia is fourfold. Firstly, we support missionaries and evangelists in Russia and Central Asia. As we say, we support evangelists and missionaries in difficult areas. Difficult in Russia, that means in the northern areas where the climate is very severe and extreme. Temperatures up to down to minus 60 degrees. One can hardly believe that people live there in such circumstances, but they do. And evangelists go there, live among them, and bring them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Difficult in the countries of Central Asia means in closed countries like Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, where giving away a Bible or a tract is a punishable offense. Many of our evangelists know very well the inside of prisons and cells. They experience intimidation by government officials on a daily, regular basis. Their work is illegal, but they will not be silenced, and the gospel is preached. The second work we undertake is we organize youth camps in summer. Thousands of children and young people attend these youth camps, many from non-Christian backgrounds, hear the gospel there preached for the first time. Thirdly, we seek to ask attention for the persecution of the Christians in Central Asia. Many of them, as I said, are fined, intimidated, or otherwise mistreated by the totalitarian governments. Lastly, and that is the work in which we participate so wonderfully together with our friends from the Gereformeerde Bijbelstichting in Holland and your Trinitarian Bible Society, is the distribution of thousands of Bibles and calendars and Gospels and New Testaments each year to the countries of the former Soviet Union. Each year, the Gereformeerde Bijbelstichting donates some 7,500 Bibles to us, which are then distributed by our members in Holland, for which we thank the Lord. And each year, TBS donates some 30,000 calendars to us, for which we also thank the Lord, and which are also distributed by our members in Holland to the countries of the former Soviet Union. If you ever get the chance to go to the remote areas of Russia, you will find the TBS calendars everywhere, on the refrigerators and in the houses of the Christians that are living there. They are sent to the East by Christians in Holland and received in Russia by our evangelists. And what they do with these cannot better be illustrated than by pointing out this picture on your own magazine, the last one. What you see here is evangelist Roman Lukyanenko. That's his name, and he works as an evangelist in the Taimyr area in the extreme north of Siberia. He is married to Tatiana, and he is father of Bogdan, Vera, and Yevnika. They served the Lord in the Taimyr Peninsula, in the extreme north of Russia. Taimyr, in the Russian language, the peninsula where he works, actually means the end of the earth. So you can say this Roman Lukyanenko brings the gospel exactly to the ends of the earth, exactly as the Lord has ordered us to do, the world's end. His work is exactly that what is seen in the picture. He takes the Bibles that are sent to him by GBS and TBS and Friedestimme, and he distributes these to the indigenous reindeer people of the far north of Russia. And they don't give away these Bibles just on the streets at random to everyone passing. They give these Bibles away in personal contact and personal conversation with people, like here. They don't cast the pearls before the swine, so to speak, but they give them when they really sense there is an hunger, an interest in the Word of God, in one-to-one contact. Sometimes they will travel for days over snow and ice through storms, experiencing much hardship on the way, just to visit a small settlement to speak there with maybe even one person that is willing to hear. They literally risk their lives daily, and under God, our mission supports some hundreds of these kinds of missionaries like Roman Lukyanenko, who risk their lives daily to get the Word of God literally to the end of the world. One soul and one Bible at a time. On a Sabbath morning in 1857, the Reverend Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon on Psalm 72:19. The sermon is called David's Dying Prayer. And it's on "Let the whole earth be filled with his glory," Psalm 72:19. In this sermon, he said the following: "If all the people in the world were converted, except one man in Siberia, it would be worthwhile for all the Christians in England to make a pilgrimage to Siberia if that one man's salvation could not be accomplished in any other way. For the salvation of one soul is unutterably precious." This is exactly the work GBS, TBS and Friedestimme are so wonderfully engaged in together. And I can say this work is not without fruit. If you are like me, you like to read the old books, the Puritans, the Great Awakening and so on, but that God still lives. I've already mentioned the Nenets people in the north of Russia. In 1990, there were no known Christians among these reindeer people, these heathen reindeer people in the north of Russia. They lay bound in sin and nature's might, heathenness, drunkenness, licentiousness. Last January, a youth conference was held among these heathen Nenets people, and more than 200 young Nenets Christian people attended this conference. And these are only the young people, not even all of them. The Lord has done really and truly a remarkable work among these heathen people. One could easily write a great narrative of surprising conversions that the Lord has performed among these reindeer people. Some call it revival, and this work continues up to this day. Then the south, Uzbekistan, where life is hard for people, and I think even harder for Christians. But the hardest for the handicapped in Uzbekistan, the mentally retarded, the cripples, the deaf. Muslim society regards these people as less than dogs, literally without worth, worthless. Last June, I had opportunity to visit a conference in the south of Uzbekistan, quite near the border with Afghanistan. Some 200 Christians attended. This conference is being held over the last 10 years, and it has grown from 2050 to 200 in this year. But it's not just Christians. On this conference, there were only three people who could hear. There was me, one brother from Germany, and one brother from Kazakhstan. All the other 200 Christians there are deaf people who cannot hear, who cannot listen, who have no ability to hear. Deaf Christians. The leader of this conference, Brother Victor, was recently called to a high-ranking police officer. And this officer said, "We will tolerate your conference as long as you are with 50 people. But with 200, we cannot tolerate that." And Brother Victor was imprisoned for some time and then released. But this message was clear. There is disturbance in Uzbekistan society for the number of deaf people turning to Christ this time. One influential Muslim leader has said, "We have to start learning the language of the deaf, the sign language, otherwise they will all go to the Christians." That's what's happening in this time. One could easily write a book about the surprising conversions amongst deaf people in Uzbekistan, but I can also say I've talked to one brother who converted as a Muslim to Christianity, who became a Christian, and he was so severely beaten by his own family that he became, he became very, very sick in his head and had this sickness with these seizures, if you understand what I mean. Christians, especially deaf Christians, are regarded less than dogs. When they convert, the Muslims start becoming angry, and opposition from the satanic world, I think, is ripe among these people. It's very difficult for them to become Christians and to remain with Christ. Two short stories about things that God is doing in this time among the Nenets in the north and the deaf people in the south, but it is not everywhere like that. In our mission, we get letters almost every day from the area where we work, and people tell us about fruitlessness, barrenness, difficulty, loneliness. In the far east of Russia, small groups of elderly people gather. They try to evangelize, they try to engage other people in the church, but it's very difficult for them. And what they write to us is, "Thank you very much for the Bible that you sent, but please also be faithful in prayer for us." And that, I think, is with which I want to close my words to you. Please, I would like to ask you to please pray for the Christians in Russia, in Central Asia, who really go through a very difficult time, especially in Central Asia. Please also pray for our mission, for GBS, for TBS. The work of distributing the Bible in a faithful and good translation really is a work that meets with much satanic opposition. We really needed your prayer for that, for the Christians to be faithful, and for the Word of God to be distributed. Again, I want to thank the Society for the opportunity to speak a little bit about our work, and thank you very much for your kind attention.